a game, sit back, analyze, argue, complain, get frustrated with what's happening on the field, as if we would have years of experience on said football field. But we do not. We sit back and we're called armchair quarterbacks. Easier said that we should have faith than actually living by faith. As we see Peter take a step that was unexpected, unheard of before, I wonder if he was thinking about Abraham. If we talk about faith, about Abraham. When the Lord God said, listen, I want you to give up your son, your only son, the one whom you love. With each description going deeper in his heart, I want you to bring him to me. And we see that Abraham had to go on that mountain by himself. He told the young lads, you guys wait here, for we're going up to worship and we will return. That mountain was for Abraham, and Abraham alone, in the position that he found himself, to climb by faith. Because as you climb that mountain and as you walk those waters, those waves and that wind usually could be described as the thoughts that never stop beating against your heart. The what ifs, or what then, and what now? If I ever needed you, Lord, this is it. In other words, are you paying attention? And in these times, we see that the Lord takes them or sends them on the waters to an ultimate end that they didn't know yet. Because the whole story or the account ends with the fact that they worshiped Him. Few people worship today. Maybe even you and I would remember a few moments, a few experiences that we've had either in church or we say we met the Lord in worship. In the boat dealing with worship, storm through the waves, they worship. The urgency for this nation, the urgency for the church to worship now more than ever. We're understanding that. And as the Lord draws them to Him, as He comes closer to them, and Peter says, Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You. We see this request coming from a heart of faith. And the Lord's reaction is that He sanctions His request by grace and His graciousness. He wants them to come, as the Father is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Peter longs for the Lord. This request, we got to ask the question, what in the world, why would he say, I want to walk on water? Because it implies, if you're going to command me to come to you, it implies that I walk on water. We saw last week all these different experiences and reports from Scripture of people that walked on water in their own way. Looked at Elijah calling for fire from heaven to show his acceptance, God's acceptance over the sacrifice. We saw that Joshua prays and he stops the sun in place and the moon just as well. Jehoshaphat praying against a million men army that the Lord would come to their defense, and he does. We saw Hezekiah being told by God that's it, prepare yourself, you are to die. And Hezekiah doesn't take that answer as the final answer. He says, Lord, remember. And he does. When you pray, James teaches us we've got to do it by faith. It's got to start from the heart. So it begs the question, what does this faith look like? If we are to live by faith, pray by faith, be expectant by faith, what does it look like? So we step away from this request that comes from Peter's heart, request of faith, into the actual required steps of faith. How do you live and how do you walk by faith? Here's what's required. The required steps of faith from Peter's actions. So Peter got out of the boat. One. Two. He walked on water. Three. He came to Jesus. James comes along and he brings on, it seems to be the contrast to what Paul talks about, living by faith. James says, listen, this is true, but it's got to be completed. Faith needs to have actions if it is alive. James chapter 2, verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. And some of us may need to look at faith in our lives, and some of our faith needs to be resuscitated, brought back to life. We talk about it, we admire it, but you're called to live. You're called to walk by faith, even as Peter did. In this first step that's required, simply put, is that faith acts. Faith is active. And it's not given that we would necessarily put a measuring stick to the people in our lives, but a mirror in front of our own hearts. Are we active? Does our faith act? Peter got out of the boat. Beginning of the story and the most important part. Because now he's saying something and all of the disciples, all of his buddies, all these fishermen are looking at him thinking he lost his mind. Jan came up to me last week and he said, listen, I thought about this during the message, that interestingly enough, that these disciples, most of them were fishermen. They were used to boats and definitely they've been through a few storms in their lives. But God allowed them to be placed in a situation where that storm was overwhelming and it went beyond their experience, where they threw their arms up and they were questioning, now what? Besides the storm, there's a ghost. In the midst of all this, Peter says, I'm about to get out of the boat. Why and how do you do that? I heard the story as a young man, and I had to research it once again, and many of you may know the incident, but you forgot the name of Charles Blodden. And if you know it, raise your hand, 100 points. Charles Blodden, back in the 1800s, he was known as the most experienced and the most successful tightrope walker, right? And we know did all that he could to amaze the world of what he could do, walking on a tightrope. He attempted and he walked across the Niagara Falls. Remember that story? He extended this tightrope 1,100 feet, 160 feet above the water, and he went back and forth several times to Canada and then back to the U.S. without a visa, I think, right? He never got off. And after he did it a couple of times, he did it once blindfolded. Then he did it on stilts. And if that wasn't enough, he did it with somebody on his back. So the crowd was gasping and cheering, ooing and aahing. Isn't this amazing what this man can do? And you know what happens, right? You remember the story. So then he brought out a wheelbarrow. And he says, do you guys believe I can actually push somebody across back and forth in a wheelbarrow. And the crowd said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Look how much you've done. You can do it. Yes, you can. And after the crowd died down, he said, okay, who is willing to jump in the wheelbarrow? Exactly. No, thank you. Except one man. He had the courage to get in the wheelbarrow to be pushed across the Niagara Falls. We can sit back and admire. We can appreciate a great sermon. We can see how great God is. And then you get the notice that you will be laid off. You get the notice that you can't pay your mortgage. You get the notice that you're sick or your family is sick. And then your heart shrivels up. What do you do when no encouragement and no patting of the back will solve your problem? Because the Lord will allow some of these trials to come that will be overwhelming and no one in the boat can help you. And you have to step out of the boat. It's bad enough in the boat. But now, Peter has the courage to say, I'm going to walk to the Lord. You see, proof of our faith is not in our words or even our smile. Proof of our faith is in our action. Faith acts. So let's look at Abraham for a little bit to see how he lived by faith without having even scriptures in his hand. We have the almighty power of the word that guides and encourages, and prophecy given, prophecy fulfilled, and the encouragement of his love. We've got him in his word. He did not. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. From nowhere, God chooses Abraham, and in a certain way, which we do not know, he spoke to him. Possibly, probably, most likely, audibly spoke to Abraham and called him. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, one, and from your kindred, two, and your father's house, three. You need to leave them to the land that I will show you. I can't show you now. You have no idea if it's there, but I'm speaking to you. Come with me. Remember, Peter is the one that had to listen to his younger brother, Andrew. We found the Messiah. Come, come. And then Jesus says, follow me. And how beautiful it is to see that Jesus called them to walk with him for 3 years. And that same invitation at the beginning of the discipleship lifestyle is he gives them at the end when he tells Peter. You'll see that a little bit later on. Same thing is happening between him and Abram, and it has been happening to you and me. He tells them, I will show you this land, and I'll make a great nation of you. And listen, I'm gonna give to you, I'm gonna bless you, I'm gonna make your name great. You're not gonna fall to the wayside, no one will mock you. I'm gonna make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And by the way, that is the blessing this country has been living under. Those that bless Israel, God has promised back then, and he has been keeping it on for thousands of years. One country you show me that has been cursing Israel, if they have been prospering, no, they have not. This is true. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And here's the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of your seed. Later on we see Jesus. It begins in his life to walk by faith. The call that he has to leave his country. He's listening to that call that I've got to leave all that I know. And the invitation to follow him ends with, now you got to leave your father's household. All of these you got to leave behind. He's got to leave his land. He came from Ur. How much do you know about Ur? You guys look it up? It was amazing. It was the land of milk and honey to begin with. It's people think that it was somewhere near the Persian Gulf by a place called Mugayr. It was a port city that flourished with trade. It was rich land. People coming and going in great markets. The land itself was luxuriant, watered by two great rivers, rich soil that produced corn and palm crops and in abundance. There were apples and grapes, you name it, pomegranates. And yet the Lord says, I want you to leave all that prosperity and that comfort behind. Walking by faith is born out of trust. And that trust comes from love that is not built up or imagined. It's a love that God is in your heart, as He placed in His heart, to say, listen, you're more important to me than anything else I have been accustomed to. Leave your land and leave your people. In that day, being among one's own people meant safety. It meant prosperity, acceptance. There was a network. People depended on each other. But no, you've got to leave them too. Not just dad, but he had to leave his father's household. He's getting out of the boat. And no one is exempt from making this decision. Maybe you think you remember a time in your life when you had to get out of the boat and you remember the steps it took, how scary it was. But this walk of faith deepens our roots of love and appreciation for His presence. Remember how Moses prayed, show me your glory. I want to know more of you. There's only one way to do that. Get out of the boat. He has to leave his father's household. Mother, father, brother, sister, uncles, aunts, grandfathers and grandmothers. All the people he could rely on. He will have nobody. I remember someone years ago after his parents have passed away, first the father, then the mom, and the reaction was, as it came to a point of realization, he says, now I am an orphan. Many of you may be in that situation, and you may have remembered that time, and you realized, I've got no one except God. One does not have to lose physically his parents or family to come to the grip, to grip that reality that God is more important than all of our family, our land, our people. Jesus makes it clear in Luke 9:23. Turn to Luke 9:23 and underline that in your Bible, for it is the map of following Jesus. Abraham's departure from his land and people and nation and family, it was necessary for his spiritual growth. Just as when two get married, they got to leave mother and father, for they will never really know each other in the reality of dependency unless they just depend on each other, not the mom and dad. Same situation here, because our hearts react the same. Whenever you have something to hold on to, you're not going to let go. I remember people getting ready to jump out of the plane. The tandem master was in front of us with a student, and we were in the back waiting to go. It was green light. We can't wait to get out and free fall. But the student got their hands on the bar by the door, and white knuckles were on. Because they were not going to let go. It all sounds great, looks great on a video, but when you're in the door and you're looking down and there's nothing there, you're not going to let go of that bar. And the Lord will let go of that bar or that boat. You know, the eagles, they break down their eaglet's nest, so they fly. It may be that your boat is sinking because your spiritual connection with the Lord is inch deep. His environment that he was in, Abraham, was not conducive to his spiritual growth. His family would not help him in his spiritual pilgrimage. And actually, the one that did come with him, Lot, because God blessed them both so much, that abundance brought him to an argument. Therefore, he had to leave his people, his country, his father's household. And Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And only after you deny, you let that go, only then can you pick up daily your cross. And only then are you following him. People want to follow Jesus today without a cross and without leaving anything behind. That never happens. These first steps for Peter on the water, they actually laid the foundation of his life, a life of obedience, getting past beyond the fact that he spoke out of turn and once in a while stuck his foot in his mouth. He was obedient in the best way that he knew. And not just obedience in following him, in the end, a life of sacrifice for Peter himself. Look at John 21. John 21, verse 18. As they're walking after he had denied Jesus three times, here's Jesus coming back to him to repair that relationship and mend his heart and telling him, listen, I'm asking you if you love me. But listen, I'm asking because it means I love you. Don't you get it? That my love for you is greater than your friendship to me. And Peter gets all excited. And then he's got ADD, just like me. As they're walking by, John walks by and Peter goes, whoa, what about him? Because they were talking about John, that John is going to live forever. He's going to be sticking around until the Lord comes back. So they're all jealous at John. See, when you follow Christ, you listen to him, you look at him, stop paying attention and measuring yourself to John or Mary or someone else, saying, you know, how come they're getting that and I'm not? The Lord said, listen, look at me. John chapter 21, verse 18, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and you used to walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Bible explains it. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Not fail God, not fail life, but glorify God, because the day would come when Peter would be arrested and taken away. After saying this, he said to him, follow me. Don't follow John. Don't compare. Be faithful to me. And it means that Peter, remember how you got out of the boat? You're going to have to do it again. Most of us sometimes are in certain boats, and some look so good, and you're very careful who you invite in your boat, you're very careful with your boat, careful of who drives your boat, right? Because my boat, the Lord's a carpenter, what does he have with my boat? And the Lord will call you to leave that place of safety and the things you're accustomed to. Because faith is not a spectator sport. And you know what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith acts. And then he walked on water. That's because faith overcomes. Faith overcomes. It's all you've got. This statement that the world has watered down from Scripture of just have faith is garbage. Have faith in whom? Have faith in what? Oh, I'll have nice thoughts for you. That's the other one. The flip side of just have faith or just believe. No, no, no. You could believe in a nail that's been nailed to a wall. It will not help you. It's got to be have faith in the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the Father of Jesus Christ. Faith overcomes, and Peter walks on water. Now, what does this walking on water look like? Have you ever walked on water? Yes, you have. You just don't know it. Because your water may not be like Peter's water, but it certainly was deep. It certainly was menacing. It certainly was about to take your life. It certainly wants to paralyze you. Because even as we look at these required steps of faith, later on we'll look at these sinking steps that Peter took. Because we all do this, go up and down, right? But in this case, Peter is walking on water. Hold on to that thought for a second, because it cannot be done except at the word of Jesus Christ. Peter says, command me to come. And Jesus says in the original, start coming. Just start. Just make that first step. And we all remember in a very poor illustration of this reality in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indiana Jones got to the cave and he's supposed to look for the cup, and there's a great chasm. And there's the phrase that they will, you know, walk by faith, and he just puts his foot out. And the moment he does, there's actually a step right there, and then he begins to see all the path leading across the chasm. The idea here is us keep looking at the waves. We think about the what if and what then, and we never make the to jump in. We're stuck. We're stuck at the border, the Israelites. Joshua walked on water in his own way. Turn to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua 5, 13. See, all these incidents, people are called to do impossible, never heard of, from the world's perspective, stupid things. Because Paul says that the world call these foolishness, but God chooses the foolish things of the world, of Scripture, of the world, to confound the wise of the world. Joshua chapter 5, 13. Joshua, remember, he just parted the River Jordan. He's seen God do great things, impossible things in the desert for 40 years. But Moses is gone. And Joshua is walking up the mountain by himself. And he remembers who his compatriots are. Joshua 5:13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And you wonder who this is? Well, the next phrase specifies exactly who this is. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? He's about to go to war. He has been commanded to conquer Canaan. The waters are deep. And he remembers. He remembers because he thought about this land for 40 years as he's walking in the desert and looking back in his mind what they could have had, but they remember who lives there. He thought about the giants. He also remembered the other 10 that did not believe, which by now they passed away together with all the other ones that did not believe. But still, it's a people that constantly complained, constantly wanted to go back. He's got giants before him and complainers behind him. Before he watched Moses, but now he meets Jesus. Verse 14, this man answers, no, I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him. What does my Lord say to his servant? If it would have been an angel, he would have lifted him up and said, no, do not worship me. I'm but a servant just like you. But he accepts the worship. It is Jesus. And Joshua worships. As he faces Jericho, he worships. As they face the storm, had no idea who the ghost in the distance was. They were being led to a point of worship. And you will not know worship until you leave the boat and you walk on water. Because faith not just acts and gets out of the boat, faith overcomes those waves. Everyone in Scripture that we see that they encounter Jesus, they fall down to worship Him because they see Him as He is. And then here are the instructions of walking, following Jesus, following God. Here are the instructions in Joshua chapter 6, 3. And it gets worse from a logical human perspective. Bad enough. Remember, these walls, they were so wide apart that they used to ride chariots with horses side by side. It was an unbelievable great fortress. How are you going to tear these down? Lord, have you given me a job that is impossible? You've told me to come and conquer, but this doesn't make sense. With the commandment comes the provision. But it's a matter of getting out of the boat and start walking. Here is the instruction, verse 3. You shall march around the city. Really? How about giving us a design for a trebuchet? Some rock launchers. Give us something. What are you going to work with? Walk around the city. March and the men of war going around the city once. Okay, we'll do it once. They'll be laughing and jeering and throwing stuff at us. Thus you shall do for 6 days. Are you serious? I get it. I'm going to do it once. Lord, how many times did I forget my brother? 7 times? For it sounds real nice and rounded? No, 70 times 7. Walking around his heart. And as you're walking by faith, the Lord is about to tear down those walls. You're making a fool of us, Lord. We're walking and people are watching. Are you serious? To put whom up front? The priests and the trumpets? How about the guys with the shields and the swords and banging and yelling? No, no, none of that. I want you to walk and don't make a sound. I could make a joke about this years ago about who was or who was not in the crowd of army marching, but I can't these days, right? Walk by faith without grumbling or talking. Seven priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, and on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. You know, this kind of reminds me of having to take medicine. Antibiotics. The doctor tells you, you've got to take it 3 times a day at these set hours. Do not break the chain link because it will not have its proper effect. You cannot, oh, I forgot it morning, I'll take it twice at noon. No, no, it's got to be time lapse. It's got to do its work. You got to take it in certain times for a certain amount of days, and this all builds up. This faithfulness in the unknown means I trust Him because I know He loves me and I love Him and I'm going to keep on walking no matter what happens, because if you're not walking for 6 days, it's not going to happen on the 7th. Do you understand? The faithfulness without seeing. On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and then the priests shall blow their trumpets. You've got to see the people's reaction, because I would have looked at Paul and said, okay, I'm going to do this one too, right? Okay, Lord, right? Verse 5, and when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout a great shout, and the wall of the city fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and everyone straight before him. Never been done before. Faith overcomes beyond the expected. Walking on water. Why should one walk on water? Couldn't he have thought for something? Lord, if it is you, can you just whisk us away to land? Lord, if it's you, you've done it before. Waters of all things, he wants to walk on water. Peter, you big show-off. What's wrong with you? Right? No, that's not why. If you look at all these people walking on water back in the Old Testament, then him walking on water now, all the walking on water brings glory to God, not to Peter. You need to walk on water. You have to get out of the boat. Brings glory to God for His power, that He can make this happen, for His goodness that is allowing you to do it. It brings victory over trials. You will not run away from the waves. It expands the kingdom of God, for the testimony will grab people's hearts. Here's what God has done in my life, not for me, but for all of you. It instilled courage and faith in all the people in the boat. And they're watching and saying, look what God did. Because Peter said, you command me. I'm not getting out unless you call me, because I can't do it. And ultimately, walking on water, it crushes the darkness. It crushes the enemy's attempts. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Daniel walked on water in his own way, right? Because he was a man of God and a man of prayer, he was thrown in a den of lions, and he is talking to God while the lions become little cats. He's walking on water. He's sustained by his faith. He continues to pray no matter what. And then we see Habakkuk. The country was ravaged, there was injustice, and there was evil. He rises from these waves of pain and fear, and he walks on water by praying out. Habakkuk 1 verse 2 says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save. That's what was happening. Trouble upon trouble. Then he comes around after he spills his heart out to the Lord, remembering who God is. Chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit on the vines, or produce the olive oil, or the produce of olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on high places. In Peter's case, on water. Our lives as children of God should be anything but mediocre. The Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Faith overcomes. Are you waxing your boat? Did you put a seat cushion in the boat just to make it more comfortable? Are you mending the sails? Did you build a safety room on the bottom of the boat just to make sure if the storm comes? Or are you ready to leave, step out, and walk on water because of what He said, because of His command, because of His invitation? Come. Start coming. I'll take care of the rest. Walk, sometimes in silence, persistent, believing, stand. At the end, you've got to blow the trumpets and make that noise that God is. And God rewards those that believe in Him and trust in Him. Come, follow me, the Lord said, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so, Father, we praise your name that water is like dry ground to you. Oh, Lord, we remember how Joshua walked not only through the Red Sea, but on the bottom of the Jordan River, trusting you. And so, Lord, we all have our own storms, our own bodies of water, our own walls that seem to be overwhelming and overtaking. We will call upon your name like Hezekiah, trust in you like Jehoshaphat. Have the courage to ask for the impossible like Joshua and walk on water like Peter by leaving the boat. Hear our prayer. Breathe your grace and strength within us. Keep our eyes focused on you and on the Word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.